We are in the book of 2 Thessalonians this morning. Right there at the end of the first chapter, verses 11 and 12. But first, let's pray again. Father, this morning we're reminded of that thing that Isaac Watts said, that, oh, that you would speak some boundless thing. And Father, we just ask that this morning, that somehow in your grace, Father, that even through myself and especially Steve in a little while, Father, that some word would go forth that is boundless, that is free, that works in men's hearts without limitation. We ask it in the name of Jesus, Father. Amen. All right. I'm going to read these two verses, first from the King James and then from the Emphasized Bible by Rotherham. So here we go. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling, fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness in the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And now a different version. Unto which end we are also praying continually for you, that God may count you worthy of his calling and fulfill every good pleasure of his goodness in work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be all glorious in you and in him, and ye in him, according to the favor of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the old version, the old Revised Standard Version, I'll read it one other time. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his call and may fulfill every good resolve and work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's three different versions, and you're probably all confused, but they all have slight differences. What we come to this morning in verse 11, and we'll just begin with this. The King James says, wherefore, and y'all heard that the expression, why are the wherefores there? You look and see why it's there. Well, how are you supposed to say it? What's the wherefore?
What's the wherefore there for?
That's good enough. You ask yourself that question. What's old Rotherham, who's an American, by the way, has always liked that he's an American scholar, said, unto which end? So there we have it. He says, wherefore we pray unto this end. Why? Because of this, we pray. And so the natural thing to do, because of what? And you look at verses 3 through 10, where he says, we are bound to give thanks for you always. And he goes through this great, glorious thanksgiving to God, verses 3 through 10. But by the time you reach the end of verse 10, you've almost forgotten that he's thanking God. He's saying things that are so marvelous, you forget that he's praying. And so in some sense, with verse 11, he takes up prayer again. He began with thanksgiving. And then he says, and because of all this that I just talked to you about in verses 3 through 10, you go back and look at it. Because of all that, I pray. And as I thought about that and let it rumble around in my heart, would you have content in your prayers? You know, I've always wondered at people. I remember back when I was in the seminary, there was always preacher boys, and they said, well, I just don't know what to preach. I just don't have anything. And I'd always think, well, my goodness, open the Bible. You know, preach that. I understand their sentiment, but at the same time, you don't have anything to say? And when it comes to prayer, anything to preach, and when it comes to prayer, do you not have anything to pray? First of all, I think the thing to do would be to look around you and thank God and note the things around you. Enumerate the things that you see that God has done in your life. Just list them off a little bit. Count them one by one, you know. And then prayer might come more easily. So Paul in verses 3 through 10 was just, he says, we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, for it's fitting, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love for every one of you for one another is increasing. And all this is evidence of God's calling in your life. And all of a sudden, Paul is off and running. He's looked around and he's thanked God for the Thessalonians, what God had done in him. And I'm convinced you and I have a great debt unto God for thanksgiving. He has kept us from hell itself. And that's, you just start off with that. But then all down through our lives, in the midst of some of the worst troubles and woes that we wouldn't have imagined that some of the things that have happened to us might have happened to us. But if we open our eyes, we can see little gifts. So I would just say this. Would we have content in our prayers? Look around for signs of God's activity. Note them. Enumerate them back to Him. And then, as Paul does in verses 11 and 12, he prays that those things would continue. He says, and therefore we pray for you. In verse 11. To this end we pray, or wherefore we pray. Note here it says always, and about prayer, we are always pray. We always pray. You know, in the temple there was always, you know this, it's not unique with me, but I'll bring it up because it's true. The prayers of God from His people should always go up from the altar. That incense should always be rising. And you say, well, I can't be praying all day. I've got to. If Roy Dean was here, since he is, and we'll talk about him. You know, I've got math problems to teach. And I've got to put my full mind to teaching math. I can't be always praying. Oh, yeah. I think our spirits can always be praying, and in the midst of the daily warp and woof of weaving of the fabric of our life, that prayer can always be there. Maybe in our worst moments, when all we can say is, oh God, oh God. Does He not count the tears, our tears, and put them in a bottle? So he says, we always pray. You know, you don't want to just throw away a word like always in one of Paul's letters. And then I'm going to say something kind of iffy, and so y'all just hold, it's not truly important. But in many of the versions here, it says, we also always pray. Well, who's he talking about? What's the New American Standard? Does it say we also?
To this end also we pray.
Who's the other people praying? One version, there are several. I think it's the authorized version. Do anybody have the authorized, the new? There's one translator doesn't even put the word "also" in there because he doesn't know what it means. I kind of like that. There's a point to that. Huh? What's that? Yours doesn't have, what's your version?
It's ESV.
Yeah, that's the one. The translator there said, what's he talking about also? I'm just going to give you my take on it. Remember we've talked about the Thessalonians. They were kind of a nerve. It doesn't quite say a nervous bunch. But you know, they were worried about when what would happen to their relatives that had passed away before they did and before the second coming. And I kind of think the Thessalonians, and they were in suffering. They were suffering fierce persecution there in their hometown. And I think they were praying. They were praying, and I think this letter is a response to some of the insecurities that Paul knew about the Thessalonians. They were praying about what? Themselves. And we pray for you too. I think there's a kind of a, did you know it's all right to pray for yourself? Does anybody here pray for yourself? Say, oh, most of the time. That's okay. I may be making too much of that also. But Paul is joining with someone else's prayers here. We pray also. Okay. I'll get off that limb before someone cuts it off. Now, verse 11, he says, that our God, he says, to this end, we pray also for you that our God, and then he goes on, okay? And so, because of this, we pray. And because of the things he'd been thanking God for, okay, that you on be counted worthy. Isn't that what it says, verse 11? That you may, that God may make you worthy of his call. But well, let's just stick with the worthy part. On that day that God would count you worthy, or you would be acquitted at the judgment of God, or that you'd be considered worthy, and live up to God's call. Now, I personally think Paul is thinking of the great day of judgment because he'd been talking about it. Look at verses 10 and from verse 10 and above there. Remember, he's talking about the judgment of God and all that. I think that's kind of going through his mind. And I think that he is praying for the Thessalonians now for the judgment of God, that they would be worthy of the calling of God. That it could be that he's thinking of their life now, here and now, that they would be living up to the calling of God. But one way or the other, ultimately before him, is the Thessalonians standing before the courtroom of God, and God saying, you've done well, my good and faithful servant. Do y'all know that verse? On that day that they would be acquitted, maybe in the judgment seat of God, considered worthy in the great courtroom of God's deliberation. I'm telling you what, none of us have been in such a court that we're going to stand in front of. And oh, to be counted worthy. And be counted worthy of what? The calling of God. Now, I like the calling of God because as a little boy, my mother would holler at us. Now, Mark Dodson was telling me about his mama hollering at him. What'd she say, Mark? What'd she say? Call out your name. That's even better for my illustration. I love that. What'd she say? Mark? Nothing like being called. We have a calling. Come to dinner. But God has called us into His kingdom. But we do have a calling. Counted worthy of His calling. But I like the word calling. It's Yoo-hoo. Lebeth, when my grandkids go out the front door and they cross that street, they have to be very careful. We usually take them across there because it's a busy street, Lenana. And we play out there and they do stuff. I'm kind of out there with them most of the time. We rarely leave them out there by themselves, daughter. But nevertheless, Lebeth will go out there and whistle. She's got a pretty good whistle. And I say, okay, it's time to go back to Spicy's house. Of course, I'm usually worn out. I've been listening for the whistle. But nevertheless, it's a calling. I like it that God calls to us. Couldn't help but think of that wonderful hymn. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of life, wild, restless sea. That's Alexander's his name. I don't know much about him. I'm going to have to look into him. But I love that. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our lives, wild, restless sea. The calling of God is louder when finally, and it is an effectual calling. I like the phrase. Y'all go look up that word in your theology book. But it is a calling that we hear. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our lives, wild, restless sea. We're in the very midst of who and our activity, the voice comes to us. Louder and stronger and more clear than the wild, restless sea can make a noise. I'm not being very poetic, but the writer of that hymn was. The tumult of this age is loud. And Jesus calls us over it. And sometimes I think maybe we might just listen. If you get tired of this life and this age, maybe you can say, you know, I think I hear my mother calling. I think I hear God calling. You know, when you're playing with your buddies and you know, you get tired about it, and you think, I think I hear my mom calling. And they're thinking, I didn't hear anything. God calls us. And it's a personal, wonderful calling. And he says, make us worthy of God's calling. And I personally think, ultimately, Paul is here thinking about standing before the court of God. Worthy of what God has called us to. That we have lived and make us worthy on that day. And how he will do that, we'll talk about in a minute. I have in my Bible right here a quote from one of Charles Wesley's hymns. Right there. Y'all can't see it. Oh, thy servant, Lord, prepare a strict account to give. Make me worthy of my calling. Oh, Lord, thy servant, make me ready for that day to give a strict account to give. Did you know? I'm not stretching this. I'm strong about what I'm getting ready to tell you. Each one of us, I mean every single one of us, has a calling before God to live up to what He wants for us. Oh, Lord, Thy servant, prepare a strict account to give. That ought to make us pray. We have a responsibility, each one of us, to live up to God's call to us. That comes in some sense every day, all day. We heard originally there was a call, and we heard His voice, and we came and we fell before Him and said, "Lord, save me." And from that point on, it was like God continued that call every day. In the midst of all kinds of difficulties and situations, we heard His calling to us over the tumult of our lives' restless sea. And then He prays that you may be worthy of your calling and fulfill every good pleasure. We'll just stop right there. That He would fill us full. Stop on that word, fill full or fulfill. If you just switch the word around, it'll help you with the word fulfill. Think of fill full in a glass of milk. Y'all drink much milk? I don't. Y'all do? That's good. You'll have good bones. I don't drink much milk. But the grandkids do. We have grandkids all around us. We have 6 of them running around between our feet. And I can hardly get it off my mind. But you put a glass there and they say, "Can I have some milk?" And you put a little in there. And they'll just sit there and wait. Going to put any more in there? It's going to fill that glass up. That's what fulfill means. If you just switch the word around, it'll help you think of it. That God would fill full. And He does that in our life. We will look back and none of us will say, "Lord, You didn't do above and beyond." Because we will look back with new eyes and see, God has been so good to us. In the midst of real trouble and woe and difficulties and wanderings and in the midst of our own failure, we will see that God kept our glass full. Now, what's He talking about? What's He going to fill full? I take it the way I read a while ago in the Revised Standard here, the last one I read in verse 10, that God would fulfill every good resolve and work of faith by His power. That God would fill full every, you might say, some versions say, every good intention that we might have had. Now this is good, what I'm getting ready to tell you. If you are a Christian here, I'm looking around this room, you're all Christians, I know you've had some wonderful good intentions towards God. Or as verse 11 as the Revised Standard, Old Revised Standard has it, every good resolve. Have y'all ever just resolved to just do something for God? Yes, I know you have. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to live better. I'm going to do right. I'm going to try to give God's glory. I'm going to do this and that. Or maybe you said, you know what I'd like to do is... And then there's this dot, 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 whatever that might be. Those are good resolves, good intentions, that God would fill full every desire for goodness. Now, I'm going to tell you something from Amy Carmichael that's always blessed me, and I sicked my wife on this quote, and she could not find it. But I'm going to leave it up to y'all. Billy will get it. I know she's right on it already. She hadn't heard it come out of my mouth. Now listen. Amy Carmichael said once that about the saints, and I'm no poet, so I'm just going to stumble it out. Amy Carmichael said it better than this. In reference to the good intentions of the saints that seem to come to nothing, she says they seem to perish, something the phrase, they perish on the sod. But one day they will flame up like great bright orbs in the hand of God. Did anybody heard that? Someone help me. Or maybe I think it's Amy Carmichael. I wouldn't think of such things. Listen, you have desired things before God's throne, and He has seen it. And it may have perished under the woes of this life, and as far as you may have even forgotten about it, but they will flame up in eternity because they came from Him Himself. It'll be a glory to God that you even thought those desires and wondered for Him and wanted to serve Him, and the devil comes at you and squashes it all down, and it seems to, you know, suffer from some fungus, and it wilts and goes, and the heat of the day burns it down. Those things will flame up in heaven. Now you please find that. And something about perish on the sod and flame up bright orbed in the hand of God. Y'all work on that. Whether Amy Carmichael said it or not, I believe it's true. God on the great day, all those good, it says it here. I'm going to read it the way the Revised Standard has it. That God may fulfill every good resolve and work of faith by His power. I believe that a lot of that will come in eternity. Some of it comes now. By His power. It's His good resolve in power, so that that He may fulfill every good resolve and work of faith in His power. You know what accomplishes anything in the kingdom of God? How it's accomplished? His power. Anything. We can't lift a pebble spiritually without God working us. Oh, I could handle that. I don't even need God. I'm a mature Christian. Over the years, I've learned stuff, and I'm experienced. You start talking like that, you won't be able to pick up a pebble and knock it out of your shoe. Because none of it, everything is His power. What I say, because sometimes we think maturity in the Christian faith is when we don't have to depend on God. You're kind of tempted to think that way. You know, I've been around. In His power, these things were accomplished by means of God's power. In this life or the next, God will accomplish all those great works, all the desires for great, He will fulfill them, and they will be to His glory. It'll be His doing. It will not be our wit and our wisdom, our determination, His power. And all this has a great end. It says, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified. What was that last song we sang was really good. May the beauty of the Lord be upon us. Y'all keep that in your mind. The great goal of Paul's prayer here and for his work in us by his power and fulfilling of those good thoughts we had I want to go back. There was a time I wanted to do great things for God. Steve knows we wanted to win the world. And some of us ended up being lawn boys. Or this or that. All those great desires we had. You know why we had the desires like that? God implanted them. And He in His great wisdom takes those desires for good, and we maybe add our own little desires to it. I wanted to be a great preacher or something or other. And God sweeps all that away, and He sees the real kernel of the good desires we have. That you look at it. Paul kind of stumbles around here. Let's read it. Get the right text here that I want to use. He says, fulfill every good pleasure of goodness. What's the King James? Does the New American Standard have that? Fulfill every good pleasure of goodness. Good desire of goodness. Why did he say, what do you have, Ryan? Do you have good desire of goodness? Every resolve for goodness. Good resolve or? No, just the translator thinks Paul's stuttering and doesn't put it in. He wasn't stuttering. Every good resolve for goodness. I'm glad Paul said it that way. Any of that that's in our life comes from him. Okay. And so, this is the end of his praying, verse 12, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified. God, listen, on the great day and the judgment or in this life, when men see God's activity in our life, it gives Him glory. It will give God glory for us to shuffle off into heaven. People will say, well, glory be. God uses sinners. God uses this poor, weak thing. God takes the weak things of the world to shame the strong, the unwise things of the world to shame the wise, the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Glory be. Look at those saints in heaven. And I mean it, shuffling off into heaven. The Lord says, come right on in. And we go. And we shuffle in. Did you know we're going to shuffle in? And there's going to be others, great men, that won't go in and their mouth will fall open and God will get glory. We are the means of God getting glory. Do you hear that? You are the means of God getting glory. How you behave in this life and on the great day when it is seen that He has saved us, God will get glory that He has saved such or He has used such and He's been in the life of such as we. Let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. Why would we want that? Why would we sing that a while ago? So God will get glory, isn't that right? We sang, Steve was just, did you pick out any of those songs in light of these verses, Steve? Yes, he did. Good old Steve. Give unto the Lord. Give, how's that? Give glory unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Glory and strength, the glory due His name. how are we going to do that? We are to do it. And it's our lives that will do it. And the very fact that God has saved us will give Him glory. And Paul says all of this is in harmony with His grace. You say, where does it say that? Verse 12, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. All of God's great work in us, everything, will be seen in that day that all of His working in us is just merely a God of the universe and the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, being kind to people. God's good grace towards us. That's all it means. God has been kind to us. Wish I'd done better on this. To this end we pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of His call and may fulfill every good resolve and intention and work of faith by His power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him. That is wonderful. Did you know God just glorifies us by dealing with us? We be glorified. Listen what it says. That the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in Him. It's a reciprocal thing. It's going on, but okay, let's pray. Father, we just say, Lord, that any of your dealings with us is grace. Any touch, Father, that you've had in our lives is our glory. And you having glorified us, we can give you some glory. Father, that you've saved us from wretchedness and woe. Father, we say, what a glory that such can go into heaven. And Father, when we are once there, Father, we will throw down any crown you've given us, any glory you've given us at your feet, at your Son's feet. Father, I ask you, Father, that each one of us here in this room would seek to fulfill your calling that you have in our lives. That we would be so bold and say, Lord, fulfill it. Fill it full. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.